Welcome to Season 2 of the To Health With That podcast, where we break up big health topics into small bites. I'm Amy, and this season I'll share all the tips, tricks, and hacks you need to get healthy with an MTHFR mutation in a step-by-step, week-by-week process. I can't wait. This week, let's talk about supplements for depression when you have MTHFR. So MTHFR and depression are intimately linked, and we've spoken about this before at some length. If you want to brush up, take a look at Season 1, Episode 8, where we explore the link between MTHFR mutation and neurotransmitter formation via the BH4 pathway. The quick and dirty version is that when methylation isn't working optimally, then the pathway that makes many of your major neurotransmitters, including serotonin, melatonin, dopamine, epinephrine, and norepinephrine, gets stalled out too. Season 1, Episode 33, was also all about MTHFR and depression, specifically the very fixable causes of depression that your doctor will typically overlook. The whole episode was about steps you can take at home to manage depression. Balancing your methylation is obviously a cornerstone, but there's so many other factors involved that are entirely in your hands. Another great one to review is Season 1, Episode 34, where we talked about the component of depression that is something like a mental bad habit, the part that feels like falling into a rut mentally when your brain travels over the same tracks, the same complaints, the same problems, frequently. Also, Season 1, Episode 35, where we talk about great techniques for breaking those mental bad habits. The part of depression that we haven't talked about yet at all is the supplement part, and this is something that people ask me about all the time. At the end of the day, sometimes we really do just need a pill to take the edge off of things while we're making other changes. And often, the supplement is the thing that helps us to have the mental and emotional energy to make other changes. So let's talk about a few good options that are typically safe for MTHFR folks and typically well-tolerated. Now, there are some amazing supplements for depression that we're actually not going to talk about today, mostly because we've talked about them before. One of the best natural treatments for depression, of course, is balancing methylation, or using a good folate source, or SAMe if you don't tolerate folates, and a good B12 source. Since those are things we talk about, like, pretty much every week, I'm going to assume you've got them covered. For most of my clients, balancing methylation, whether it's through methylfolate, folinic acid, food sources of natural folate, or SAMe, is actually the pillar of their depression relief. That doesn't mean it's the only thing they need to do, but it's certainly the foundation. Another effective supplement for depression that we've talked about is St. John's wort. We dove into that one at length in Season 1, Episode 46, on the link between MTHFR and serotonin. Also, omega-3 fatty acids and fish oils are extremely well studied for depression, and we've also talked about those at great length because, for MTHFR, they boost the effectiveness of B vitamins. Amazing! We covered that in Season 1, Episode 42. Just remember that if you're using fish oils for depression, you may need a higher dose than the one listed on the bottle, maybe significantly higher. So some other things that I would like to talk about. One is saffron. So saffron is best known as a spice, adding a brilliant yellow color and a subtle but beautiful flavor to Middle Eastern food and haute cuisine. Like most other highly colored spices, it's packed with antioxidants, carotenoids, and biologically active compounds. In research and clinical practice, saffron shows major benefits for those with depression, and it's thought that this could be through some serotonin-boosting mechanism, possibly similar to the mechanism used by SSRI medications, in which the saffron keeps serotonin in the neural synapse longer, basically making the same amount of serotonin do twice the work. In fact, when compared to the actions of SSRI medications, saffron was found to be just as effective for major depressive disorders as these commonly prescribed pharmaceuticals. Given that this is thought to directly affect serotonin levels, it's best to talk with your doctor before starting saffron, especially if you're already taking an antidepressant medication, because there may be an interaction between them. Saffron is typically dosed around 30 milligrams per day in research studies. N-acetylcysteine is another incredibly valuable supplement for depression. So N-acetylcysteine, or NAC, is something that we've talked about before as a precursor to glutathione, which is one of your body's key antioxidants. It's actually precisely because of this function that it's so useful for depression. People with depression are more likely to have higher levels of oxidative stress, inflammation, and inflammatory cytokines like C-reactive protein, tumor necrosis factor alpha, and interleukin-6. By helping to moderate the inflammation, NAC actually eases the symptoms of depression as well. It's thought that NAC helps to regulate glutamine and dopamine levels in the brain and demonstrates a great ability to both cross the blood-brain barrier and also to increase levels of glutathione within the brain and central nervous system. NAC also shows promise for use with addictions and substance abuse issues. NAC is actually an amino acid, so it's best taken on an empty stomach. If it's taken with food, then it competes with other amino acids for absorption. The doses typically used for depression are between 2 and 2.4 grams per day. This can be divided into 2 or 3 doses, depending on what's easiest for you to manage. The third supplement I'd like to talk about is rhodiola. So rhodiola is well known as a supplement for helping to get core energy back in situations of adrenal fatigue or exhaustion. This is because of its action as an adaptogen. And that adaptogenic ability is also thought to be the reason it helps with depression. So studies have linked hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis dysregulation, or HPA axis dysregulation, for less of a full mouth, with depression. HPA axis dysregulation is exactly what's happening in clinical cases of adrenal fatigue or exhaustion. It describes a state of overreactivity and subsequent burnout of this vital neuroendocrine system. In a study that compared the effectiveness of rhodiola to the common antidepressant sertraline, rhodiola was shown to be effective but not quite as effective as the antidepressant, but also far better tolerated and with far fewer side effects. The typical dose of rhodiola for depression is around 340 milligrams per day. There are other adaptogenic herbs as well, any of which may have similar benefits for depression. They include licorice root, ginseng, American ginseng, schisandra, and ashwagandha. Thank you so much for listening today. And if you're interested in a 6 weeks to health with MTHFR course, make sure to sign up for the mailing list at tohealthwiththat.com and keep listening to the podcast for more information. My daughter's on spring break next week, so we'll skip a week of the podcast. But don't worry, I'll be back the following week with more tidbits. Thank you.